You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Melissa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to hour number two at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway with our next interview, connect with us at Twitter, at E-Radio Sports. You can always email the show at Alyssa@yahoosportsradio.com. And twice is always nice. You can check out our podcast page at podcastarena.com. And of course, all of you wonderful listeners out there, you guys challenged us for a better mobile app. We responded with the all-new Yahoo Sports Radio app, available now for your iOS or Android device. Just search Yahoo Sports Radio in Google Play or the App Store and download the new app from Gow Media. You can stream us live on the go or listen to the podcast at your convenience, all from one app. And if you don't have an iOS or Android device, no worries. You can listen on most smart devices by going to streamysr.com. Internet connection is required and normal data rates apply. Well, it is, as promised, time to go around the horn. We are so delighted to have back live and in person our very own Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB news and notes. How are you, Andy?
I am good. A lot of baseball news to go around, about a fourth through the season, so good stuff is happening.
Well, we've got a lot to get into, and let's start. Let's head north and go to Arlington and talk about the Rangers. They're having some issues with anger.
Yeah. Well, Jose Bautista, that's public enemy number one when it comes to the Rangers. He hits the massive three-run homer last year. He does one of the craziest bat flips we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't you in that moment, Bautista? That was his defining moment as a player. Why wouldn't he be excited? Why wouldn't he want to do something like that? And really, the Rangers, if you have a big problem with it, Elvis Andrus made three errors in that inning. Pitched the ball. You were up 2-0 in the series. You didn't win the game. Boo-hoo. A bat flip didn't beat you. The Rangers, this whole Odor, Bautista, hitting Bautista in the ribs, punching him in the face. I find it to be childish by the Texas Rangers.
I was going to say, what is your assessment? I mean, when you just evaluate this team, I mean, that is pretty immature.
It is immature, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. We talk about these mythical baseball gods that control the game. And, you know, the Rangers act like fools out on the field, and then they get swept by Oakland promptly after it. So it's kind of funny how it all works out. Odor is going to get himself an 8-game suspension, which, you know, in Texas, people are deeming him as some kind of hero because he stood up to Bautista. But 8 games could be a lot. 8 games for especially an impact player like Odor, take his anger out of the equation here, take his play out of the equation. He's a very good young player for that team. You lose the season, you know, you lose the division by 2 games, you lose it by 1 game. It's 8 games you didn't have one of your top players in the lineup because he had to even the score with some old school baseball mentality. To first, they hit Bautista in the ribs. Bautista does the hard slide at second. His hard slide wasn't the worst slide I've ever seen, and then he gets punched in the face. it was just a little excessive by Texas.
Jose Bautista, I mean, when you look at this type of fight, I mean, how violent it was. I mean, some say this is good for baseball.
Yeah, I think it's fun just to get it sparked up. You know, people like to talk about it. People like to debate about it. Like, I'm debating about it right now. It's good that we have something to get a little heated over. We have a little rivalry. We have some bad blood. I think that's kind of good for the game. I wouldn't want my team doing that, so I enjoy watching it from afar, you know. But if this is your particular team, the team you're rooting for.
A vicarious thrill.
Yeah, so it's fun. I mean, I like to talk about this stuff. Yeah, I really wouldn't want that happening to my squad. I wouldn't want my guy getting punched in the face. And, you know, if someone's going to bat flip, if someone's going to showboat on the field, we still have that old school baseball mentality to where you do it at your own risk. And Bryce Harper talks about his whole campaign about making baseball fun again. And there's a lot of guys who are buying into it. There's a lot of these new age players who want to have fun, who want to do the bat flips, who want to show emotion. But it's still baseball to where if you go a little too far with it, you do have a fastball coming for your ribs, it seems like, more times than not.
How much does this change the perception of the Texas Rangers? You know, will the fans lose respect?
I don't think that the Rangers are a team that the nation really likes to begin with. I think they're a veteran team, but you got some guys on there like a Prince Fielder. I don't know if people necessarily like nationally, or a guy like Rougned Odor. Regardless, the team's very talented. There are some players to root for. It seems like Beltre is commonly a guy rooted for. So I don't know if it's really going to change their perception. I don't think they're the team that a lot of people were wanting to pick in the preseason. I don't feel like analysts like them. I think their fans love them. I mean, these guys, they do play with a lot of heart. A lot of them do play the game the right way. I just think that one bat flip, if one bat flip bothers you that much, there's a disconnect somewhere in the clubhouse. That's not what a World Series championship team does, in my opinion.
Okay, so Jose Bautista, he's going to be out. You said 8-game suspension. How will this impact the Rangers?
Well, it will probably impact them negatively, having him out of second base. He's going to appeal to suspension, so we'll see what happens with that. He's just such a dynamic player. He's young, he's wiry, he has some power. And when they lost Jurickson Profar, you kind of wondered what would happen to the second base position. It seemed like Rougned Odor just kind of slid in and fixed everything immediately. So, you know, it's impactful. It's not like losing Prince Fielder, but it's probably the next worst thing on that team.
Andy Pondillo back with us in studio at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He provides each and every week our MLB news and notes. Andy, connect with our audience across the nation where they can check out your podcast.
The podcast is Astro Chat on ESPN975.com.
Okay, typically we're talking about the Houston Astros. I promise all the Astro fans we will get into that. But since we are dialing in on the Rangers right now, where do you see them at this point of the season?
They're good, not great. I think that the Rangers typically have the same issues, though their pitching has been a lot better than I think anybody could have expected. They hit a bit of a wall facing Oakland. The offense is solid all the way through. Nomar Mazara has been a lightning rod for this team coming up through the minor leagues. I mean, it's the same issue, though. I don't trust a bullpen. I don't trust the back end of their starting rotation. And the pitching, it's good enough to just kind of be good. Is it good enough to win a division? Is it deep enough? I don't think it gets through 6 months. But if they do make smart moves in the middle of the year, if Yu Darvish is able to come back from his surgery and be Yu Darvish of old, then it'll definitely give this team a lift. This team will stay competitive throughout the year. I think they're a mid-80s win team, and that's a good season. Is it enough to win the division? Is it enough to win a wild card? It really just is going to depend on the American League.
Okay, let's shift gears. Let's talk about Bryce Harper. He's starting to get the Barry Bonds treatment. What's going on? He's drawing a ton of walks.
Yep, they just don't want to pitch to him, and that's the Nationals. They're good. They're a very good team this year. They've been riding first place for much of the year. They don't have that true guy backing him up right now, protecting him in the order. And, you know, there's worse things. It's nice to have a guy getting on base every single inning, it feels like, because it's nobody wants to pitch to him. But I think that started to take Harper a little bit out of his game. He's not seeing a lot of pitches to hit anymore. That gets you a little over-anxious. That gets you start trying to do too much when you only have two at-bats a game. And that's just going to be to the Nationals to figure out a way how to fix that, to be able to deepen the order. And Barry Bonds talked about it. He sees Barry Bonds treatment happening. He tells Bryce Harper to go steal some bases, and then he'll stop doing that to you. That's kind of true. At the end of the day, it's still protection in the lineup that's what's going to change that.
Andy Pondillo back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. So as we talk about the Nationals, Bryce Harper, in the long run, I mean, are they doing a good job of protecting Harper?
Well, they have Ryan Zimmerman. That's obviously a big name from the years past, but he just hasn't been productive. It's been a couple years now since we've seen the Ryan Zimmerman of old. He comes back. He starts hitting, the 25 home run clip, gets 80 RBI this year, and then that would be enough. They don't have to have a dynamic order with a bunch of boppers in this lineup to be successful. They do have a good, well-versed order over there, especially if they get Anthony Rendon ever going. Unfortunately for the Nationals, a lot of this offense has been centered around Bryce Harper, but they've still been able to win games. That's credit to them that they've been able to find different ways to do it under Dusty Baker. They're in first, but it's going to be a tough division over there in the NL East.
You know, it's interesting. We shine the spotlight on Bryce Harper. Give us an update on Barry Bonds. How are they doing now?
Well, he should be doing good. He's a batting coach with the Marlins, They have a winning record. They're doing better than they were last year. They're not doing exceptional. A lot of people picked them to be the team last year to kind of break out. They didn't do it. Very disappointing season. This year, again, much more respectable. I think the hitters like working with them, and really, who wouldn't like working with Barry Bonds?
The conversation continues with Andy Pondillo, our MLB news and notes. We're going to get into the NL East race after this timeout.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
MLB news and notes conversation continues right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We are in hour number two, and our very own Andy Pondillo is back with us. Okay, so Andy, let's shift gears here. Let's talk about the NL East race. And you know what? It is surprisingly very competitive. Would you agree?
Very competitive in the Phillies. I don't even understand why they're competing, to be honest. It's one of those teams where you just, I don't even know when the last time I watched a Phillies game was. You know, you just don't have a reason to watch this type of team. But, hey, they're competing, so maybe I need to tune in. They're, you know, right hanging in there with the Nationals. The Mets are doing their thing with their pitching. Noah Syndergaard is just stupid up there. Matt Harvey, I mean, these guys, this rotation, Bartolo Colon hitting home runs now. So, you know, Mets have been kind of a fun team to watch. The Nationals, obviously, at the top. Such a dynamic, diverse team that they can bring to the table in terms of talent. A team that should win the division based on talent alone. And then you have those Marlins we talked about. They're trending better. They're not doing great. They're at least playing competitive baseball again. So all these teams hanging around a little bit closer than I think most of us would have ever expected.
So, Andy, when you look up and down the NL East, I mean, is there a common denominator? What are we talking about? Is it the pitching is so strong? Is it offense? I mean, what's happening?
This has definitely become a pitching division with the Mets. They're rotation, we all know how great that is. And in the Nationals, you know, I really think that we focus so much on Bryce Harper because he is the guy now in baseball. But really the heroes for the Nationals, Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, these two going out 1-2 in a rotation. If Strasburg is truly finding himself, is going to earn that $175 million he just made, he's starting to show it. And if he is that guy, I mean, these two are the most dynamic 1-2 you're going to find in the National League. They also do possess depth in that rotation. They have an extremely good chance to go far if they continue doing what they're doing. What we said before, Mets 1-5, you're not going to find a better rotation in terms of depth. And then when it comes to the Phillies, just a bunch of young guys. Vince Velasquez from the Astros got off to a great start over there. just a bunch of young guys doing their thing and keeping them in a race.
So when you step back and you review the NL East, who's your favorite? I mean, are we talking about it's going to be the Nationals? Or?
Yeah, it still has to be the Nationals. Just based on talent alone, that team should win the division. Mets, I'm always concerned about their offense. Now, Yoenis Cespedes has come back, and he's had a fantastic year for them. So maybe he does enough in the order. Maybe Curtis Granderson can do enough for these guys and keep them in the hunt. But overall, the Nationals have more depth in their lineup. They have that front end of the rotation that's stronger, and I do like their bullpen better.
Okay, I definitely want to get your takeaways on the Braves' movement this past week. They fired Freddy Gonzalez, and it was pretty unprofessional. Would you agree?
Yeah, the way he found out was quite interesting. He found out that his flight had been changed to Atlanta. Nobody had informed him why. So getting an email, wow, knowing that that's the reason he'd been fired is unfortunate, especially once again, he spent more than 20 years in the Atlanta Braves organization. Really, Freddie Gonzalez, there isn't much you can do with that team. They're tanking right now, whether they want to admit it or not. Going to try to collect the first or second round overall pick. You know what? What you going to do? You bring up the minor league manager, he's going to lose a bunch of games, and his resume is going to look awful, too. They could have done it better. Freddy Gonzalez is highly regarded in baseball. He'll find another job somewhere.
So what will it take for the Atlanta Braves to get back to being relevant?
Well, they just need to keep getting high picks. They're doing the Astros model. They're doing the Cubs model. And before them, that was the Rays model. They just need to probably suck for a few more years, and they'll collect enough first overall, second overall picks. You get these guys to the majors quick. Maybe you sign a guy or two when everything's coming into motion. And you do have Freddie Freeman still, who's a fantastic middle-of-the-order hitter when he's all right. So, you know, they'll get back into contention. They're doing it the right way. Other than the way they fired their manager, they're doing this thing right. They're bottoming the team out, and they're going to be able to start this organization over.
Well, a team we want back in contention, of course, is the Houston Astros. Of course, last week they were going upward, and right now, where are we at this point?
Well, right now we're somewhere in the middle ground. The Astros, you know, are right at that 7 games back mark, so it's not absurd. A lot of that's because the AL West hasn't really taken off. You've seen the Seattle Mariners play good baseball. You've seen the Rangers play good baseball for stretches. But the Astros right in there. They've shown some good signs. They're starting to hit better. The pitching, depending on who they're playing, is dependent on how it looks. Overall, we've seen all the elements of the old Astros show up in May. We just haven't seen them all together in a consistent manner. So, good signs right now. No reason to be overly concerned yet. If you're a fan, I think that there's a lot of baseball to be had, and we're only a 4 through the season.
Okay, but I am a bit concerned about Dallas Keuchel. Do you think the league has figured him out?
I think they have. I think that he's going to have to make adjustments, and the most difficult part is, do those adjustments come this year? Or is it going to take a whole year before he can go into an off season and figure out what's going on? Is he tipping pitches? Are they just laying off his pitches that they were swinging at before? There's a lot of theories to why Dallas Keuchel is struggling the way he is after being so masterful for 2 straight seasons. I don't really have the full answer.
What do you see when you're watching him? I mean, hitters, what type of adjustments does he need to make?
Well, hitters don't swing at his pitches anymore. That's the biggest thing. He's Tom Glavine. He's Greg Maddux. These guys depend on either getting calls off the plate or getting hitters to chase and be off balance. And he hasn't had hitters off balance this entire year. I think they're just keyed in on him. They've seen his game enough now. He may need to pitch backwards a little more. He may need to maybe learn another pitch, use pitches in different counts. You know, I really don't know ultimately how he fixes what's going on. A lot of it might just be the simplest things. He just might need to command his fastball better. He's thrown a lot more balls this year than he's thrown in previous seasons.
What do you think his frustration level is at this point?
It's probably over 100%. I guess probably maxed out right now. But he's a professional guy. He's not going to sit there and pout on the mound. He fights through it. He's a grinder. He's gotten torn apart a few times this year where we've seen him absolutely get blown up. Will he be the guy of last year? I'm not sure, but I think that he can be better than he is right now. And I don't have any reason to think he won't be. He's a guy that can throw a lot of innings. He's a guy that lasts for 6 months. He's not going to be a type of pitcher that breaks down 3 months in. So he just has to keep battling.
Andy Pondillo with us, our weekly MLB news and notes. Some movement has taken place. 2 minor league players have been called up, right?
Yes, Tony Kemp, Colin Moran out at the big leagues. Tony Kemp, the second shortest player in all of the MLB after Jose Altuve. So it's fun to have those two guys on the same team. Colin Moran, a third base prospect who at one time was a first round pick. So both of these guys have some upside. They're not your Carlos Correa prospects where you just think they're going to take the world and do whatever they want with it. They're going to be guys that are a bit of projects for the Astros, but are fun projects. They're guys that have got on base at a high rate in the minor leagues. And you know the way that the bottom of the order of the Astros has been this year, it hasn't been very good. So these guys definitely can just be steady guys to get on base and maybe either bridge a gap till the veterans figure it out or start to push some of these guys off the field.
Always with us each week, Andy Pondillo with our MLB news and notes, always providing some great information. Thank you, Andy.
Always fun.
Stick around. Much more straight ahead here in hour number two at YSR, the Big East Sports Show.
Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio and the Big E Sports Show. It is time, as promised, for some off-season news and notes for the Milwaukee Bucks. They finished the 2015-2016 season. It was disappointing, 33-49. They did not make the playoffs. So moving forward, we're going to take a look at the off-season strategy, what we can anticipate. And of course, back with us, our helping hand from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee, Tom Pippins is here to break it all down. I promise, no elbows. Tommy, how are you?
I couldn't be better because I'm with you and the listeners. I say it every time, Big E, but it's true. And I know just what the Bucks have to do. This could be the shortest segment ever because I'll tell you in two lines unless you want it. You know what they have to do? As old Coach Ditka used to say on that late night show, get Big E and the Big E will score baskets from the outside. She'll make the three, and if you need her, she will rebound and defend the paint, and then there'll be a contender in the East.
But I am officially retired there, Tommy. I can barely walk 18 holes of golf with my junior golfer.
Yeah, that's a big chore, too, and probably at this stage more important. That's awesome, Biggie, you bet.
Okay, so let's talk about the Bucks. Obviously, as I just mentioned, they underachieved this year. Your analysis, and they took a big step backwards. What needs to happen?
Well, first of all, I think a good point there. Jason Kidd has said this and others, and if you look at history sometimes, a team will jump up and surprise people. You're well aware of this. And then they do tend to take a step back, in part because of youth. And also, I think a more salient point is that the Bucks didn't give away, but they were trying to save some money, and they signed Greg Monroe. And Monroe did what they got him to do. He's not a paint protector, but he gets you about 16-9. And in that regard, he was quite good. But Zaza Pachulia left. They had a couple of others who left them who were veteran savvy people who were making a difference. And they lacked, I think, in the locker room. And I think defensively, they broke down a lot. And again, you played the game at a high level. You know the deal. If one person misses an assignment, then it goes to heck in a handbasket. They couldn't defend the three other than Chris Middleton. They couldn't shoot the three. Jared Bayless was hurt a whole bunch. So was O.J. Mayo. So those outside threats. They got Gravis Vasquez, but he could hardly play because of injuries, missed 50-some games. And so they need to go get another outside shooter to join Chris Middleton. They had Rashad Vaughn to get out of UNLV, but, you know, he's only 18 years old or so after 1 year. So they need a shooter. But I think they desperately need to get somebody in the paint who can protect and rebound. And, again, they've got to defend the three. If they look at the teams playing now, Big E. The Bucks are nowhere near them. What would they do with Cleveland or, you know, even Toronto? Whenever they played a good team. So that's what they've got to do. They have the number 10 pick, as you know. They didn't move in the draft. I think they ought to trade down and get a couple of veterans.
Sports director from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee, Tom Pippins, is back with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're talking about his Milwaukee Bucks. And I just think back 2 years ago, they were the worst team in the league. Last year, they were in the playoffs. And now it just seems like this is a team that's really struggling with an identity. What is it?
Well, that's it. I think they're so youthful that they don't have an identity. Can you call them savvy? Can you call them battle-tested? No. What they have is a fellow who has a chance to be a transcendent player. I looked that word up, Biggie. I don't know if it's used in the right context, but it sounds good, so I'm going to use it.
Okay.
But, you know, you don't have a Steph Curry. You don't have a LeBron James. And those, I don't think there are any of those in the draft, although there are some good players. I don't know if Brandon Ingram is going to make a big difference or anybody else there near the top, the kid from LSU. So I really think the Bucks ought to trade back and get veterans, because if you get veterans, then you can start to understand who you are. I think that I would pay every night to watch Giannis Antetokounmpo, who really took a big step forward. We know he takes big steps, Euro steps on the court. He was magnificent at times, you know, triple doubles here and there. And Jabari Parker, coming off the ACL, he didn't do much in the first half of the season, but he went to the All-Star game. I ran into his dad, Sonny, and those of us older in the tooth remember he had a decent career himself, has a foundation, Chicago does a lot, and he said, you know, he went to that All-Star game, and he wasn't in the All-Star game, but played there in the, you know, futures or whatever, and U.S. versus Europe, and he really said, you know I can play this game and play at the top. He got confidence in his body, and I think he had an All-Star second half. So between those two guys, you've got a great foundation, and Middleton. Now, they're not a big three you can win a championship with. They're maybe next level, I think, even though those two kids, I think, will be All-Stars. But if they can just pick and match here and there, but again, you've got to get a three-point shooter. You've got to be able to defend the three, and they have to be much better at the paint.
You've got to get a three-point shooter. You've got to get a big on the inside. You had also talked about the veteran experience. I'm just curious, I mean, Tom, how much did they miss Zaza Pachulia this year?
I think they missed him a bunch, in part, Big E, because of the good point you made about the identity. You know, he showed that toughness. And that series against Chicago last year, I mean, they won a couple of games before getting hammered in Game 6, I believe, at home. Going to Chicago, winning. And I think it had a lot to do with him. And the other name I was trying to come up with earlier is Jared Dudley. You know, a good shooter. And once again, just that veteran presence. I think it means so much when you've got 20, 21-year-old kids leading your team in terms of ability. So that's why I think the veteran would be good, or two. But again, those things that we mentioned, you just have to go out and get those if they want to be competitive again and get back into the playoffs. I don't think it was a shock, given the circumstances, the injuries, some of the veterans they lost, that they did take that step back. But it certainly was disappointing, because this is a team going to, you know, the ownership coming in with a beautiful new facility and revitalizing downtown here soon. And you want the team to be good commensurate with that. And they have a long way to go. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens leading up to and after June 23rd's draft.
The lack of veterans, the injuries, and defensively, when you step back, I mean, there was a major drop-off this season. That, obviously, going forward, that's got to be at the forefront of their minds.
Yeah, that was their calling card last year. And, you know, John Henson's another one. I don't know if you start John Henson. You invested a lot of money in him. And John can come in and be a shot blocker and a rim protector. But he had trouble staying on the floor. I think if he can be more consistent, he'll be quite good. The other fellow who was really good coming off the bench, and they started him, and they put Monroe on the bench because their bench was so short. They did the same with Michael Carter Williams, who, again, big question mark with him. Is he going to take the steps that they felt they would he would make as a point guard of the future, 6'6", with that wingspan, got injured, missed the last portion of the season, but also doesn't shoot the ball well. So can he play with Giannis, who turned into the point forward? There are a lot. But I think Zaza did a whole bunch on defense for them. And as you point out, once that defense goes away, that was a calling card for them last year, and it definitely was one of the big problems this year.
Just a few more minutes with Tom Pippins, the sports director with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee, always one of our favorite guests at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Give us the pulse on Jason Kidd. Does he still have favor with the owners? Because it was reported that he was on shaky ground.
Yeah, you know, I think as a coach, if Jason would just focus on coaching, I think he can become one of the better ones in the league. I think he was off to a very good start. He's got the cred, as you know. He's a Hall of Famer in waiting, and those young people, especially point guards, can learn a whole bunch. But I think he likes to dabble in that front office thing. And general manager John Hammond, I think, is very good at his job. Now they're going to look into hiring a new assistant after David Morway, the assistant, wasn't brought back before last year. And Rod Higgins has been a name that's been mentioned. I'm not sure where new ownership is on Mr. Hammett, but I think the world of him. And I think if Jay Kidd would just focus, as you know, there was a lot of concern about control, which led to the sour parting, if you will, parting on bad terms in Jersey and Brooklyn. So I hope he'll do that because he's likable. The kids love him, and I think he's a very good coach. But I think it's tough when you try to dabble in both. It's hard to do.
The familiar voice, Tom Pippin, sports director with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee, giving us an off-season news and notes on his Milwaukee Bucks. You take care, Tom. Have a great summer, and we will catch up real soon. Thank you, Tommy.
Can't wait to hear about that young son of yours on the tour someday.
There you go.
Great to be with you. All of God's blessings to you and your family and those great listeners.
Absolutely. God bless. Much more straight ahead right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. We will be right back.
Listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio. Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at YSR. We are coming to you from Houston, and as promised, in our final segment tonight, we're going to highlight the NBA lottery and zero in on one team and organization in particular that has endured a lot over the past couple of years, and now they are taking the necessary steps in order to be relevant. We're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. Delighted to have back with us Mark Medina from the Los Angeles Daily News and the Lakers beat writer. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
Mark, you've had a very busy week, and we are anxious to get your thoughts. The Lakers were the and won the number two pick in the draft lottery, but trade rumors seem to be the buzz. Should the Lakers trade that number two pick for a superstar? Should they deal the pick?
Well, I think it always entails what will that require. I think that, you know, when you talk with Lakers general manager Mitch Kupchak, he's made it clear that that's certainly an option if they can accelerate their rebuilding by getting a veteran all-star caliber player instead of relying on a promising young player, but maybe, you know, will require time to take development. He'll certainly do that, but I don't think it'll come to the point where Mitch Kupchak would be willing to compromise that foundation of that young core that has been established the last 2 years. So if I had a guess, I think if there's a scenario with the Indiana Pacers, with Paul George, or the Sacramento Kings, with DeMarcus Cousins, the Lakers will certainly be interested and talk with those teams about a possibility. But I think those teams will be asking much more than the number two pick. And so that's where I think that there will be an impasse and the Lakers will ultimately use that number two pick to draft a player instead.
You were in New York. Did you have an opportunity to visit one-on-one with the Lakers general manager, Mitch Kupchak, and kind of get a sense of the direction that they really may be headed?
Yeah, I think, you know, Mitch certainly didn't want to be there for a few reasons. Mm-hmm. One, it signaled that, you know, they're in the lottery because they had a poor season. I think that he was also dealing with a lot of nerves, with just the very strong possibility that they could have lost that pick. They only had 55.8% chance odds that it would land in the top three, around 19% that would land in the top two, but they were able to defy those percentages. And so I think, you know, the vibe I got from Mitch Kupchak is he was certainly relieved and in much more joyful spirits than in past weeks. But he knows there's still a lot of work ahead of him, and now he has to shift focus on what will he do with that number two pick. And as much as this is going to help the rebuilding process, they have a long way to go to bounce back from last season when they finished with the worst season in franchise history. So I can't quite say that he was popping champagne bottles or anything, but relative to the frustration that he experienced this entire year, he was a little bit happier.
Well, no team moved up in the lottery, but I have to assume that the Lakers left New York City feeling like a lottery winner, too, with that number two pick.
Yeah, I think that basically if they finished three or above, everything would have been great. You know, certainly if they could have drawn it up, they would have gotten number one. But I think, you know, when you look at this draft, most people around the NBA really look at it's Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram and then everyone else. And so in some respects, This might actually make it easier for the Lakers. You know, Philadelphia has first dibs, and they could essentially just pick whichever player the Sixers do not take. But that being said, you know, Mitch Kupchak made it clear that they're going to go through their due diligence, bring in prospects beyond those two players and evaluate them. And then going back to my earlier point, he'll certainly explore some trade possibilities. But if I had to guess, you know, what ultimately happens, the Lakers will wind up drafting Duke forward Brandon Ingram, who I would arguably would be the best fit out of him and Ben Simmons because of his versatility, the fact that he can add some needed defensive presence on the wing. And those are two things that the Lakers severely lacked last season.
LA Daily News Lakers beat writer Mark Medina is with us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. You can connect with us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And Mark, connect with our audience. Where can they check you out online?
Well, I'm at dailynews.com. That's our website. And then I certainly have a pretty established Twitter profile page at MarkG_Medina. You can follow me there. I, you know, tweet all my articles out when I'm out in the field doing interviews. I'll give you live reporting there. And certainly plug in any radio appearances, including on your show as well. So it's kind of a one-stop shopping network there.
Well, you do a great job, and I wanted to get your thoughts as well on the first big move of the offseason with the Los Angeles Lakers, Luke Walton's, the decision to hire him as a head coach. How will he impact free agency and just the perception?
Well, it remains to be seen. I think that, you know, it certainly can't be a negative. I think it's a positive because he's been seen as this rising star in the coaching ranks. He doesn't have, you know, head coaching experience, you know, on a permanent basis, but I think he caught a lot of buzz with just how he handled the Golden State Warriors while Steve Kerr was recovering from back surgery, leading to them to a 39-4 record. And I think that, you know, that's made it certainly attractive, but there's going to be tests along the way. He obviously does not have the luxury of coaching high caliber talent like a Steph Curry or a Klay Thompson or a Draymond Green that he had at Golden State. But I think that he's seen, particularly with this young Lakers core, as someone that could easily relate to them. And there's almost a feeling that they're both in this together. This young core has a lot of potential, but there's some potential learning curves along the way. Same thing with Luke Walton, is seen as having a lot of promising potential, but could experience some hiccups because of that lack of experience. But I think that's part of the reason why the Lakers actually hired Luke Walton, where both parties would be very invested in each other in their long-term growth.
That, of course, is Mark Medina with the LA Daily News. And it is time now to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup over the past 2 hours. George Vesey, the New York Times sports columnist, Vince Cellini with NBA TV, Tom Pippins with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. Always great to catch up with Christine Brennan, columnist with USA Today, and our very own Andy Pondillo with our MLB news and notes. We'll see you next weekend. Don't drink and drive right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.